Well, hello everyone. Welcome. I don't know where you guys are. There you are.
Oh, there we are.
Why is it going like that? There you go.
We're a little bit wide in frame.
I was a little bit there for a second.
Oh, no.
Welcome to another one of these interviews. I'm here with my buddies Scrump and Evelyn. Here they both are. You want to talk today about a concept that you have called Based is Over. We can explore that. But before we get going, I'll remind people, do pick up courses at the Academic Agency, Trivium, the bestseller there. But you guys, where can people find you? Anything you'd like to promote before we get going?
We're on YouTube, on your old channel.
Yeah, we're on the Scrump Monkey YouTube channel. We're also on Twitter, the No Muss Events, even though we haven't done one of those for a long time, unfortunately. We still hope to at some point, though. But we do have the most pressing thing we have, the shill, is always book.
Yes, please, buy book.
Buy book and prepare for next book.
Next book, that's interesting.
well, we'll see about that one.
Yes, I don't know, you can try and follow us on social media, but it's not worth your time, I don't think.
I would avoid social media at the moment, but Whifflings.com, the publisher, they put out a book about the Bolsheviks as well, which is very good. So good things are happening, just not on social media.
Yes, but I suppose to get the ball rolling, it's become apparent to, I think, obviously yourself and us for years, that woke was never going to last forever. It only provided social utility, both in terms of positively putting it forward and also attacking it, for such a length of time. I think we've now reached a period where we can suggest that Based is over, or maybe we are maybe past peak Based. I think on three different fronts, as we discussed, I think, in our stream the other week, that there is no social utility to it. It's not novel. It's all played out. It feels very passé and just sort of old hat, really. It's not commercially viable. And more so specifically for people in our little circles, I don't think it's a way to effectively gatekeep anymore. We can debate about whether it even was in the first place, but we can definitely say that it's not now.
Why don't we unpack this a little bit? So, I mean, a lot of people will demand definitions. And there are people, I mean, there's always somebody in the comments saying something like, well, what does based even mean? So why don't we start there? Let's define our terms.
What is based? Problem. The problem is that based, in quotes, is really a reactionary movement, as in it is a reaction, literally, in many cases, to leftism. As in, what used to be based is a...
Little be the based god.
Yeah,
that's probably too far back.
That's a bit too far back. We won't go into little be the based god and its usage on 4chan, but really it's secondhand, like most things on the internet, secondhand 4chan language for not having mainstream politics in a rightward direction. It never had a particularly tight definition. In fact, it really is like cool. It's like the right-wing version of cool. In fact, I would say it is almost exactly right-wing cool. That's what based means.
It's opposite. It's cringe. The opposite of based is cringe.
It's not very woke of you, comrade. It's also not very based of you, comrade. These are the same things. It's vibes-based. But I think we all understand the general subset of behaviours that we're discussing. Whether that's a sincere or Machiavellian belief and want to talk about traditional values. There's really no reason to be doing that on the internet anymore, is there? I think it's been talked to death, and this is part of some of the stuff you've obviously been getting into with your centre-left shift, that doesn't actually pertain to asking a lot of the questions about day-to-day governance anymore. It's sort of...
It's vibes and memes, and that's what it really is and has become. And it's become so co-opted, though, in that you get what was quote-unquote based and alternative nomenclature being used by people like Liz Truss. It's Liz Truss is talking about saving the West. If Liz Truss is talking about saving the West, then the performatively right-wing stuff is really over. Anyone who's interested in not looking like a complete boomer will be fleeing it. And a lot of people will complain that, yes, that is vague, but it is that what is cool and isn't cool is very vague.
Yes.
But it is also real, as in people will flee from a scene or a set of people if they narratively become uncool. We see it constantly.
And I think as well, as someone who has come sort of full circle from being engaged in this stuff passively now a decade ago, and then sort of doing bits and bobs, getting to know people, and now sort of maybe being almost wholly involved in it in a certain respect. The sort of idea that people used to have in their heads of, like, you had this spectrum of based, and that people who were further up the based end were more trustworthy and worth going to, because they would say something that someone else further down the line wouldn't. That had utility to it for a while in helping people understand what direction things should be heading towards. Maybe not in a, in the fact that we got it on the money, but we were looking towards something at least. There was some sort of hierarchy, some sort of standard that we were trying to test people by. It just doesn't matter anymore, because the actual conversation about these issues and where's remigration or where do you stand in the JQ or wherever else is totally irrelevant, because we've come to understand that the money behind you, what direction you have, and whether or not you can form an organised minority is a lot more important than what your values are.
Yeah, I mean, we should get into this. And I, throughout all these interviews, I've been trying to kind of steel man an oppositional view. So this is not me being trying to argue with you two. This is me putting forward objections that I've got as well. You know, one of the principal objections is like, well, the trouble is you guys are like hipsters. You're like hipsters at the end of the day. And you forever want to be like a kind of Parisian cafe crowd, okay, talking about these things as almost like a kind of cool scene. Whereas in fact, the real nuts and bolts of politics is, you know, actually getting stuff done. So the real action, where it's taking place, where change can be made, is actually through something like the Trump government, let's say, or through the Reform Party, because that is where it's at. How do you respond to these sorts of critiques that people have I wrote a whole article. I was kind of a little bit irritated by some of the responses I saw, called Escaping the Slop Right Matrix, where I argued that actually things are so co-opted now, right? The containment has worked to such an extent that to support any of these things, you end up basically stepping into a new matrix. There's a new blue pill on offer, if you want, right? It's now the matrix has got a kind of based simulation on it rather than a woke one, but effectively it's still fake, and it's effectively the actual structure of things has not changed. The same people are in charge. The same people who don't like us are still in charge, okay? So getting behind these things is almost like, you know, you can imagine you've got somebody with two sock puppets on your hand, okay? And it's like, oh, well, now the right sock puppet is eating the left sock puppet, but the right thing to do is to get behind this hand. And I'm like, well, look, it's just the same. It's still a guy with two sock puppets. That's my view. The pushback I got was, you just want to be a hipster. So yeah, how do you respond to this? Yeah,
I mean, I suppose to a certain extent, yes, we are hipsters. I don't think we've ever really been, defended against that accusation too much. But I think there's quite serious criticism in what we put forward. The state of play, as it were, if you are an elite, I think is better off now than it was during, say, the run-up to peak woke. Because now you have these class of people, which we have referred to in the book as the conservative given. This is a subset of people within society that work competent, technical jobs that actually keep the wheels of civilization turning, at least to some extent. You at least have to somewhat psychologically bring these people on board to what your projects are, even if you do it by constantly opposing and then humiliating and then buttering these same people up and baby's milk, as it's referred to in Kitson and sort of counterinsurgency conversations. It's a sort of subtle thing to understand, but as you say, the state of play is exactly the same. The dynamic between us and the elites who hate us is the same relationship. It's just that they're pretending to be nice to us because it gets us to do the things that they need to do to stay where they are. It's maintenance of the regime.
The problem we have as well is that what politics is cool and isn't cool to people who are minor elites matters a lot. It's one of the few things that they signal on. It sounds such a strange thing to say, but yes, it does actually matter whether your political movement, in quotes, or whether your political ideas have cachet and have countercultural cool. It's more like a music scene to many of these people. it's difficult to reach them. A lot of them are very insulated. A lot of their families are quite, if they're not wealthy, they're at least very middle class and are rich poor, as in, you know, they've got big mortgages on £1 million houses near London, and they feel poor, but they're not. It's all these kind of people. You have to appeal to these slightly bizarre middle-class elite people. And one of the only ways to do that is to be genuinely politically countercultural. Because if you just sound like the same old noise they're hearing all day, they'll tune you out. And they very much will just tune you out if you just sound like more managerial noise. And that's the Reform Party has already lost its cool with those people. A lot of those people are going to pick up Reform like a new toy, and then all the Tories got on board and went, "I don't want to play with Reform anymore. I'm joining this party. I'm getting out of this." And the slightly skittish and flitting wants and likes of people who are aged kind of 21 to 35 within the bottom layer of like the managerial elite. What those people think and what those people find cool is shockingly influential in many cases. It is one of the few kind of impulsive things that lets them colour the world around them. Because many of these people they don't live like me and you do. They don't have immediate needs. They don't understand that most people have immediate needs. They've never been allowed to fail. And so things aren't quite as real for them. There's also a lot of people who are swamped with work, who are these people who keep the world working. And those people as well just don't want to hear the same things that have failed over and over again. These people are very hard to excite. They're very hard to motivate. They're very hard to get to be self-motivated as well, because many of them have been so ground down and jaded by being inside the machine. And so you have to bring them something that is genuinely shocking, that genuinely shakes them out of their apathy. And that's really why we try and move to unoccupied ground. You know, I once said that, you know, it doesn't matter if it's right or left. If you think you're the most counter-regime person in the world, invent further counter-regime space to go.
Yes, try and find what is unoccupiable land, if anything. I think there is something to be said for the virtue of inaction and patience and waiting. How many things have we seen, even in the last couple of years, whereby based aesthetics, based talking points, based coolness has been used to forward agendas directly against what we would like. I mean, we have talked to no end, almost specifically about the way that, say, Jewish in-group preference has been consolidated by the fact that they have used based aesthetics to garner support from native Westerners.
The West needs to emulate Israel to save itself. The Conor Tomlinson argument.
I would go one step further and suggest, as I have before, and I think people still really need to come to terms with what they went through during that period, that you would not have had some of the compliance during COVID and the lockdown had it not been the sort of charismatic, bonkers-based Boris and Trump in. I think that would have not been as easy to pull off without basically the same sort of vibes thing going on.
But
there's something to be said for the fact that, as you pointed out, these people have no creativity. They have nothing unique to share. We are some of the only people that have that stuff. That's why they come and bother us all the bloody time. So maybe for once in a while, we should just stop. See what happens.
There's a few things here that I'd like to unpack, because one of the issues that I've got is that, and this is the disagreement I have with Dave, the distributist. He was like, "Well, you're problem is that you don't like the fact that things have been mainstreamed, right? You want to hold on to." But the trouble is that the process of mainstreaming transforms it into the opposite of what it was in the first place, okay? And in the case of MAGA, I think we've seen the entire iron law of oligarchy play out to the extent where now you've got the chuds like cheering on, you know, military adventurism. Okay, and arguing that actually this is always what America First was meant to be, and this is the base thing to do, and blah 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 blah. So you go had a group of people who were ostensibly against the system, or they'd fallen out of love with the institutions, they were buying out. Now you've got them as a cheerleading squad for the American government. That's basically what's happened, and the problem is one. If you want to talk about cool, I mean, it's lost its authenticity. There was a moment where Trump was funny. There was a moment where some of the memes were actually shareable. Everything's felt forced. Everything's felt because all of the real people have been pushed out or crowded out, and they've been replaced with, you know, the $7,000 brigade and, you know, paid operatives and people who are part of this network and that network, astroturfed influencer, you know, crowd, essentially, as well as some of these people that you're talking about who come from these, like, kind of, you know, kind of rich, poor, middle elite type backgrounds who have been parachuted into. I mean, for me, the tale is always, they came onto the thing because they write for a publication. I mean, that's a very strange way into, you know, oppositional dissident politics. That shows, actually, you're not even thinking like one. You're thinking, oh, I need to get a job. I need, like, it's a gig, right? It's a gig, as opposed to, you know, the sort of stuff that we've always done. So that in and of itself, to me, shows a kind of degradation of the process, because it has the paint of the sorts of things that we might say, but then the ultimate punch is pulled. The ultimate punch is pulled. Or, for example, I noticed that there was one writer who kind of came up with this based reading list recently, kind of ABCs, but I noticed, like, very sneaky kind of omissions and substitutions. Like, for example, they put in René Guénon's Crisis of the Modern World, but there was no Evelove there. I mean, okay, so you're kind of dipping a toe in, but you're also watering it down because you worry that Evelove may look too edgy, right? But you want to show that you're kind of aware, one toe in, one toe out, all of that sort of stuff. Or then, in the ultimate case, it's like, you know, literally Marco Rubio, or literally Ted Cruz, or literally Lindsey Graham nowadays.
Literally Lindsey Graham.
I mean, this is a sort of point I tried to make to Dave on Twitter. I didn't get much of a response off him. Not that I'm really desperate for one anyway, but it should be no surprise that both in the UK and the US, the people responsible for mainstreaming-based sat at two ends of a very interesting spectrum. Some of them wrote counter-terror policy, and the rest of them were on counter-terror lists. And some of these people were only separated by 1 degree sometimes.
Oh, 0 degrees.
In certain situations, we know of people who are separated of almost 0 degrees in this regard. The fact that it all ended up coming to nothing and was mainstreamed by irresponsible and sometimes young, naive, and ill-socialised individuals who probably shouldn't have been anywhere near anything mainstream, who were handled by people who had the one responsibility of tying this all up at some point anyway. I mean, that's maybe the thing some people might want to concern themselves with. We've seen quite a few people sort of fall with woke as it's tumbled. It's had to, you know, take a few of the statues and the figures and whatever else down with it. It's probably going to be the same for this at some point. I wonder who might come a cropper because of that if they haven't already.
Well, this is something I keep on saying, though, is that at some point I think it's all going to be folded up. You know, if something, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen, but let's say things go tits up in America and Trump is genuinely brought down, right? Because, you know, could be through Epstein, could be through, you know, any of the blatantly unconstitutional, illegal stuff he's done in the past few weeks. It could, I mean, the prospect of it being wrapped up and put away and folded up and people being sent to jail and so on, people are blasé about it now, but it could happen. It's happened before. How many times has it happened before?
We might get a couple, but the problem is this is a veneer over nothing happening. Mm. I mean, most of what we talk about, base is being put away narratively. We're not talking about the fact that based policy will recede, because there is no based policy. We saw that with the whole, you know, Minnesota thing, going to America. America's the biggest example of this, because we've come up with a cheeky concept called Neo-Obama, which is, we don't know who it is, but whoever's going to be in charge of America next is going to be a Democrat, and they're going to be a consensus Democrat in the hope and change vein. It's going to be John Stewart's America again. Colbert Report writ large. That's where all the kind of the indicators of politics seem to be going. And I think people think that they think that they can will politics into existence by kind of memeing it. But that's not true.
Magic.
A lot of people object to our analysis because they think that we think that's where politics should go, but it's not. We can't really affect where politics goes at all. What we're saying is this is where politics will go. This is not a process you participate in. This is a process that you are an audience of. And as an audience of politics, wouldn't it be good to be able to read ahead? But people do get very upset when we're like, look, the base arc is over, and the next US president will almost definitely be a consensus Democrat. They don't even have to. I don't think Trump will ever get arrested. One, he's too old. If they ever need to put Trump in the box, they'll Biden him. They'll talk about his age constantly. And people go,
To be clear, I'm not talking about Trump. I'm talking about the social media influencer class who can be folded up and put away. The reason I mention this is because it's happened about six times already. People forget about the waves and waves and waves of people who've come and gone.
A lot of them don't get arrested, though. A lot of them just get deboosted or flame out.
And then they'll just flame out.
The Barry Weiss safety net.
Yeah, all you need to do is hide those people in the algorithm. We've seen it on YouTube. All you need to do is aggressively hide those people.
When's the last time you heard of like Matt Christensen or some of these people?
Yeah. When's the last time you heard about like Andy Worski and all those kind of people? Where's Ethan Ralph these days? Everyone who's tried to become the big based online independent influencer has become a lol cow. I mean, we don't wonder where J.F. Garrapy is, but we wonder where his wife's body is. It's things like that. That's the...
Careful, though.
The point is...
I would just like to say, for legal reasons, all of that is alleged, and I want to say that the guests of this channel do not speak for the channel, etc., etc.
I would implore people to watch his house cleaning tutorial video and make up their own minds.
But
this is the kind of people who end up as the quote unquote base talking heads. They don't have to arrest these people. These people, without handlers, without funding, immediately stab themselves in the eye repeatedly.
On that thing, the mention of that person just now reminded me of something that has come to light. Since the Epstein, I know you guys aren't that big on Epstein stuff, but it's very noticeable to me that the basic worldview of Jeffrey Epstein is also the worldview that has been inculcated through 4chan, Poll, online right, and various other things.
I think you're reversing
around
that.
There.
You think
people are putting themselves on
They're inserting themselves into that.
No. What I mean is. His, if you read the emails, his worldview is of a racial supremacist who is into human biodiversity, race and IQ stats. He's known to have funded some of this stuff.
Blown out of proportion too. The stuff about him, the Chomsky agreeing stuff.
I'm just saying though that you've got somebody with. A racial supremacist master morality, okay, for his own group. And it just so happens that the network who are trying to kind of make Jeffrey Epstein look cool has exactly that worldview and have been pushing it for 10 years.
The fact that Jeffrey Epstein believes in reality because he is at the sharp end, he's within the elite. The elites believe in reality. They all believe in that because it's real. I think that's what you're mistaking. And 4chan talked about that because it's real. And he was intrigued by that. He was intrigued by the whole thing on 4chan that they were able to effectively have elite opinions as non-elites despite all the propaganda. Jeffrey Epstein believes in all those things because those things are
I think you guys may be wrong on this. I see 4chan as an almost perfect social experiment whereby every single person is an anon. Okay, in modern Elon Musk world, we could say they were bots or they were operatives or they were maybe sitting in a call center somewhere or they could be Mossad. You just don't know. They are the perfect disorganized mass.
If
you had an agenda to seed ideas in there, okay, through the back end or whatever else, one of the stories I heard is that Paul was actually taken offline and Jeffrey Epstein personally intervened to get Paul put back up.
That's not true at all.
See, this is...
That's speculated, but it's not true. Some of the meetings match up, but that's just people misreading internet history entirely.
I am not.
People who weren't there.
I am not willing to trust Kash Patel and the crew at the fraudulent Bureau of Information to tell me the truth about Epstein's Israeli Mossad blackmail sex ring.
It's also just very loose.
Just is where I'm going to draw the line, I'm afraid.
He wanted to meet Christopher Poole, but often he would make excuses. He met him a couple of times, but he also met everyone a couple of times. That was the whole point. His whole point was to go out and meet everyone he thought was of influence.
I mean, I can't stand Matt Goodwin. But if there was like a million emails from that all said Matt Goodwin met Jeffrey Epstein, it wouldn't change any of the opinions or speculations I have about him as an individual. Because for what it's worth with the Epstein stuff, you either knew the fact this was all going on already and were paying attention when it first happened, or this is now just, I'll be quite frank, this is normalisation. This isn't about revelation. This isn't about containment falling apart or anything changing. This is about putting a subject out there, which they can create very intense friend-enemy distinctions over as and when is convenient. And furthermore, it's to make everyone else that's passively engaging with it become normalised and engaged in the process of learned helplessness to just accept the fact that they're elites of paedophiles.
Also, his meetings with Moot only took place in 2011. I mean, Paul as a board was a containment board. It used to be called New, it was the news board. And Paul was put up as... Paul has always existed on 4chan, despite Paul not existing on 4chan. There was always that kind of discussion. Long, long before it was made into a board. 4chan came online originally in 2004. So you've got 7 years of growth there between Jeffrey Epstein becoming involved in the founding of 4chan. And it did genuinely become the engine of internet culture. That's why Jeffrey Epstein's so interested in it. And the place was shill, but the interesting thing about 4chan is that they were relatively immunized against it. If you saw in many cases, it would basically just be... It was a meme. It was the whole environment on 4chan was, we are surrounded by federal agents. And people laughed at them as paranoid, but it turns out those people were right. And it was a much more healthy mindset to be like, hey, look, we're surrounded by federal agents. Because people on Twitter don't think that. If you tell people on Twitter that every other person they talk to is basically a federal agent, they'll think you're paranoid. But that was the actual culture. And it's the same thing in that they were trying to guide it. But it was the original form of it was a lot more resistant because people are a lot more internet savvy. Now they're not. I honestly think they did some training in that environment. But the idea that Jeffrey Epstein came up with Based World is completely retarded from somebody who was there at the time.
I don't think we would disagree, though, that certain tech bros who have courted a very specific political audience are using Based as a brand to muddy their possible involvement in previous dealings with him.
It's what Rutherford was a skinwalker. It is 4chan writ large, but the problem is it's them wearing his aesthetics as a suit. All of that took place relatively out of pocket. At least the you know, by 2011 and the emergence, that's kind of like 4chan's silver age, where we post things like Chanology now, where kind of in 2011 you're 4 years out from protests breaching the real world from the internet for one of the first times en masse. So we're quite late into the life cycle, and even by that point in the fortunes, and so what you get is these elites becoming fascinated with an online cultural vanguard, and they realise there's a lot of genuine political energy in somewhere like 4chan. I don't think that the elites were clever enough to come up with that soup of appealing content, whereas a bunch of people on the internet were, and that was part of the problem. Part of the problem was a lot of it was genuine, and they came in and they sapped all of the political energy out of it because they can't generate political energy themselves. It's actually worse than you think. 4chan, in many cases, was relatively genuine, and all of its genuine effort and all of its genuine research was eventually co-opted. But it wasn't there as a seed. The two ends of the process don't exist in that at all. And in fact, the two ends of the process existing in leftism is what makes it so unappealing. They found a flavour that people found appealing, and they knocked it off because they can't come up with that stuff themselves.
I just want to go back to something that you said before, though, because, I mean, when it comes to the Epstein stuff, you said, oh, always go to the place where people don't, you know, go to the edgier place all the time. And, I mean, like, it's hard not to notice, right? Some people have, like, you know, some people have gone to the point of, right, well, everybody's outraged about the Epstein stuff at the moment. So they've gone to the other thing as like, oh, well, actually, like, he was kind of quite cool. You know, this kind of talking point.
There's a subtle nuance between hipsterism and contrarianism.
Yes.
Yeah. Tease this out for me, because this is what people will say. So. Mm. just tease it out for me. How would you know, what's the distinction between those things, and how does it not lead to, you know, adopting indefensible positions?
I think, to be fair to people who bring up that accusation, you have to have an understanding of a person and their personality and their previous history of work. I think someone who is contingently talking about one set of values or beliefs and then is taking that to as many logical endpoints as they can for the sake of even basic entertainment is doing something at least a bit more than someone who flits between a million different values and beliefs and positions so as to say the one thing that touches a nerve and creates engagement online. I think that's a very specific pattern, and you probably, to be fair, have to study an individual, at least to some extent, or a network, to see where someone's doing one and someone's doing the other. But then, I suppose, the whole sphere around based has always had a very contrarian and antisocial element. I think that's only just been pushed even more so now, the fact that there's more people online, there's more people engaged in it, and there is a number of, quite frankly, ill-socialised teenagers as a consequence of lockdown who now use based as a way to vent about the failing of the world around them online because they don't know what else to do with themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, to round out our actual topic here a bit, I think the problem is that it's not about what we think, it's not about what we adopt, it's not actually really about our ideas, it's about what is being done by those in power and correctly predicting it so you can possibly make moves that are able to at least navigate it and survive it. Most of what we do is trying to warn people who are in relevant industries and relevant places and are doing relevant things, like, hey, you're about to be flattened. You know, just a heads up, you're about to have the rug pulled out from under you and you might want to look at that. And that's what's really going to happen with this. We don't try to go to a more contrarian position because we have a permanent agenda we try and push with everything. We don't think Epstein's the be-all and end-all. Epstein's good to illustrate the fact the elites, you know, have unshakable loyalty to each other and act as a class. But the people find the Epstein file revelations so boring in many cases because we've had this a million times over. It does matter, but also people tune out. Mm. And it's the problem is it creates so much noise. And as it creates so much noise, you have to move to more of a kind
there's
of
just no signal.
Top-down, again, first principles. What we try and do is when we're now trying to move to an edgier position, we actually try to move to a more boring, consolidated position, which is, well, this is just what top-down power looks like. Power brokers like Jeffrey Epstein, who didn't really seem particularly bright. Again, he's someone who's intrigued by these ideas, but he doesn't come up with them. Again, discussion of HBD on places like 4chan didn't start in 2011. It started in 2005. And he's the elites are people who are empty in many cases. You see the way they talk, but like the Reddit talk of Musk and all that. And really, being shocking cuts through. But sometimes the most shocking thing to say is like, yes, the Jeffrey Epstein files do matter, but they will have no impact. And they will have no impact because they matter. Mm. It's the other way around. Yes, they do matter, but also talking about them endlessly isn't a winning strategy because you're asking the people in them to arrest themselves, and that's retarded.
See, for me, it's really quite simple. The elephant in the room, always, in my view, is Israel. Israel is a toxic brand. People don't like what they've done. People can see that they wield significant influence and power. People want to speak truth to that power. And frankly, if you're shilling for them, it's like, I mean, I call it like reverse Midas, you know, like King Midas, everything he touched turned to gold. Someone say everything they touch turns to absolute shit. The microcosm is Larry Ellison buying TikTok, right? He bought TikTok because too much anti-Israel material was being produced on TikTok. He immediately then put in some controls and there was an exodus from TikTok. People didn't want to be on there because that was the thing that brought them to the dance. What they've tried to do, and this is just my analysis, you can tell me if you disagree, is that they've tried to take all of the other bits of based that can be co-opted, okay? Whether it's elite theory, which I've talked about, whether it's any form of racism apart from racism against them, whether it's grooming gang stuff, whether it's, I mean, it doesn't matter what the topic is, race and IQ, all those other bits can be co-opted, okay? But the one piece of the pie that they can never truly go all in on is that. But even on that, there's been significant attempts, I would say, to even mainstream that discussion as a means of even containing that, or stripping the shockingness out of it, or something.
We're getting into the patronage kind of stuff here, in that there is a lot of patrons about. The problem as well, and as people have online, is they live in a bubble. And because they live in a bubble, they don't understand how the culture outside of them sees them. In that the problem with the base brand isn't even so much anti-Semitism. It's Andrew Tate. It's right. Nick Fuentes and Andrew Tate dancing in a club to Kanye.
Yeah, it's Tommy Robinson punching people in a train station.
Oh, it's also just Tommy Robinson, you know, it's wasting £40,000 on a hacker dance. It's the Reform Party looking like the same old boomer conservatism again. It is the vibes, really. It's the base doesn't have good vibes anymore. They sold it on vibes. They don't even have the vibes. And really, I think it is also just being washed into what we don't see, which is the conspiracy soup. Everyone, like, you might notice some of your Gen X friends have got pulled more into this. But the boomers in Britain are becoming, they're getting like a late dose of Q. They're getting really heavily hammered by all of this wash of lizard people, healing crystals. You know, it appeals to Lib Dem homeopathy. There are a lot more of the woo-woo kook sphere than there is of people who are committed to based elite theory in the way that we are. Far, far, far more. And folding based into that, especially with all the discussion of Israel and some of their bizarre kind of apocalypse talk to their own people, where they talk, actually about active prophecy fulfillment, where they're talking about bringing about the apocalypse as a selling point for their government, which does happen. They do that. That is something that they do internally. But you say that to people, and it's all washed in with the lizard people.
And so it sounds crazy, yeah.
If anything, there is a bonanza of anti-Semitism on the internet. All of it washed in with, like, moonbeams and, washing yourself in placenta.
I think to come back round to sort of the question you were asking, though, I think there's an important aspect of it that people miss. As and when it's tactically required, the Zionist lobby, Israeli lobby, whatever bit of it you want to look at specifically, because the lobbies that run the diaspora stuff that was involved in woke are not exactly the same people involved in, Robert Shillman and all that lot, our Heritage and all these different groups out in the States. These aren't exactly the same people. I think it's quite obvious at times that they allow each other to tactically have a go at one another, because they think it's beneficial. I mean, you've literally got Nathan Kofnas writing Substack articles 2 years ago going, Jews in Europe are under attack and it's going to be really awful to live here. So my fellow Jews in the diaspora who consider yourself leftist, stop doing it. Become a conservative.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that,
More than enough reason sometimes for even American politicians who we know for a fact are paid up beyond and above the ears or whatever else to say positive things about Israel, would turn around and attack it if, for some reason, a faction that wasn't friendly with Netanyahu wanted rid of him for the continuation of a greater Israel.
Sometimes what we see as well is just the petty rivals of the elites. They fall out more like a family, though, than they do like rival power centres. They have family tiffs, and they have, you know, narrow disagreements between competing institutions, but they work towards the same goal when the chips are down. My favourite example of that is Chuck Schumer going to an anti-abortion charity dinner for an Israeli charity, despite being a extreme advocate for abortion in America. It's very clear that they have in and out group preference. And it's very clear that a lot of what we see, even to a greater degree than we thought, just is not real. So much of this, and a lot of people go, you'd say nothing, you say everything's not real. It's like, well, in the news cycle, basically nothing is. Motivations, all of it. The stuff that we think of as like the neutral content of news, and the neutral content of the liberal world order, in quotes. I think the main problem is people just can't reject that entirely. And they without falling back on, again, like a David Icke-style lizard person view of the world.
One last question before we wrap up on this one is, So woke, I think, was objectively unpopular. I think it did lead to a genuine backlash because it was too aggressive. It was too in your face. And it activated what I would call psychological reactance. Okay. Psychological reactance is basically, you know, if you give somebody a direct order, psychologically, a lot of people are like, I'm not going to do that. And why not? Simply because you told me to, right? Psychological reactance. And I think it activated that. And when people have their psychological reactance activated, they kind of get pissed off, right? So I do think that there was a genuine backlash against woke. I think it was a failed elite ideology, an attempt to bring in something that was unpopular.
Would you not suggest the fact that it's not necessarily a failed operation, it's just one that ran its course?
And yeah. But I would say that
where you're going here.
Well,
had based as such a charismatic sort of welcoming movement as it was to people, without having them already had that sort of frankly disgust response at what woke was. Oh, here's like two big fat black dudes kissing each other.
Right,
oh, well,
right,
I'll
yeah.
go for the other one.
No, I agree with that. But what I'm asking is, from the elite perspective, based was kind of popular, or is popular.
Yep.
Right? In a way that woke was not. When I say it's popular, woke had buy-in from like professors and people at universities and, you know, a couple of people in Bristol or whatever, but it never really had purchase with, the people. Whereas based, I would argue, is almost like the default prejudices of the mass, of the kind of disorganized mass.
This is why I think this actually is what has a shorter lifespan.
But doesn't it? Well, I guess my question is, doesn't that mean it's a political, it's a useful political technology? It's a tool to get buying back in. To go on. I guess my point is, because it's popular, won't they keep on running it?
Well, we are not the people that are responsible for popularizing it. It has been lowered to the lowest common denominator and has been used to appeal to the most sort of base needs and wants of people that aren't the ideas we were articulating at length years ago.
We get these cycles. If you, again, to shield the book a bit more, the essay, the Freedom Fries and Coronation Chicken essay is very much about this process, in that George Bush wasn't sold on forever wars. He was sold on being based.
Mm.
And his appeal to Americans...
Patriot.
...was that he was, you know... Most of his program was cutting taxes and trying to get gay shit out of America. That was how he sold himself. I will cut your taxes and there will be less gay stuff. The whole quote about, you know, evangelicals finding his commitments, even if they are symbolic, very important. But we always have this cycle where ideas are allowed to run their course. What happened in the 1970s is, well, we tried American-style Jimmy Carter soft socialism and it didn't work, so now we've got Ronald Reagan. Well, Reaganism didn't work, so now we've got Bill Clinton. Well, Clinton was a bit of a wrong'un, so now we've got George W. Bush. Well, that was kind of awful, so now we've got Obama. And it is these... The people in charge understand that the narrative has to change. That you can have a syndicated TV show, but it must have arcs. It actually can't just be the same episode over and over and over again. You have to make some changes to the overall logic of the universe must stay the same, but the story arcs must alternate. And it really does seem like they're lazy enough to go left-wing arc, right-wing arc, left-wing arc, right-wing arc, because the left-wing arc runs out of political energy, and then the right-wing arc takes over, and then the right-wing arc runs out of political energy, and then the left-wing arc takes over.
I mean, this is...
And it's this interweaving sine wave, if you look at Western political history since the Second World War, of it being pushed from a leftward perspective and it being pushed from a rightward perspective, but it always being the same agenda. And that's what libertarians point out with the Uniparty. But they don't go further and say, well, sure, that means that all politics post-war is meaningless. It's all window dressing. And that's what we try and communicate to people, really, is that these are storylines. They're not organic. And a lot of them is due to it's the structure of how things are sold to you is the same, but what is sold to you does not change. And noticing that is the ultimate form of noticing, really.
The thing is, I think, to come back round to it, what we have witnessed, let's say, since October 7th, 2023, has been a rapid onboarding of normies into based. Even if they've only dipped their toe in, they understand and communicate with a little bit of it now. So we have to witness that. I think we want to possibly cross our fingers or pray or whatever your penchant is, that Based is actually going to be over as a brand, because we might only be on the precipice of this continuing. Maybe we hit a complete stage like Idiocracy, where we live in Based world and it's insufferable and we hate it. And to be fair, we are some of the people who are there to blame for the fact that it possibly happened.
I'm afraid that the two sine waves of Based and Woke cancel each other out, and all we're going to get is more consensus post-racial liberalism.
Or...
That's what it's made to do.
Or if it carries on and you end up with your family giving away the entire heritage to unite the kingdom protest.
Actually, that would be, yeah, that would be superior to, like, Tommy Robinson world, in which we end up with, like, national Q rallies, almost. And we end up with the boomers having their wealth extracted into, you know, the free speech union, so some lesbians can say they don't like J.K. Rowling.
I did actually, I mean, you'll remember my essay, MAGA as the Fulfillment of the Kali Yuga, which in some ways kind of pointed forward to this sort of scenario. But, I mean, it is... I think it's worth mentioning, though, that the media have not exactly presented Trump as a normal president. He has always been, he's consistently in liberal media, been presented as a departure from the norm, not just another George Bush, not just another, like he's always been presented almost as kind of cheap, no. You know, he's always been Hitler.
Post-election, they had to calm all that down. There was that whole wave of unanimity where, the loony lefty media is always called, like they called George Bush Hitler. They did. People thought they did.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, that's true.
They have to be at 11 all the time because that's their shtick. It's passé now. They do it automatically.
Like, I listen to LBC every day, and the talking point on LBC every single day is Trump is not going to allow the midterms to go ahead, and he's going to use ICE to bully brown and black voters.
Bush is going to invade America internally, and he's going to stop this. And oh, look at the Abu Ghraib. America's going to torture its own population, and they're never going to have another election again. And then we got Obama. I remember it again. People talk about this. It's not unique. And the New York Times came out, and Newsweek, and Politico, and all of the neutral section came out and said, actually, Trump is just another president, and you'll have to accept it. Just after he got elected, and everyone went, oh yeah, Trump is just another Republican. And then the strings were cut. Though that was the moment, really, that like MAGA's trajectory started to dip. As soon as the New York Times stopped blasting that Trump was Hitler and started saying that he was a normal president and actually had quite a good power broker in certain instances, that's really when his cool went away. It's like the New York Times saying they like your favourite band. You're going to throw the CDs away.
All right, well, I was about to ask you what comes next, but that's our next video here. So
Tune in next time.
Just as a reminder, where can people find you guys?
YouTube on Scrump Monkey, or you can, if you wish, go to Whifflings Publishing and buy this very good book in hardback and paperback and ebook, whatever format would suit you.
I'll just remind people, pick up a course at the Academic Agency. Most importantly of all, get out. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the Academic Agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.